So in James, this has been the cornerstone and will be as we move through this series, James chapter 3, verse 2 through 12. We'll read the whole thing today just to kind of get everybody up to speed, hit a few points, and then jump into the new material. But this is what it reads. It reads this in verse 2 of James 3. It says, "For we all stumble in many ways." Amen. "If anyone does not stumble in word," isn't that interesting? "In word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body." Verse 4, "Look also at ships. Though they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity." Now here's where James does not mince words and he starts getting after it. You ready? "The tongue is so set among the members that it defiles the whole body and sets afire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell." Verse 7, "For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God the Father." It's like he's reading our mail. "We bless God the Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God," or in the likeness of God. "Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be so. Does a spring bring forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Can a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt, water, and fresh." Our words are powerful. Our words are tremendously important to our life naturally and our life supernaturally. We read the verse last week, and it's very important that we read it again. And it is this verse. Where did you go, verse? It's like there it is, Proverbs 8. I covered it up. Proverbs 18 and 21. "The tongue is as powerful of life and death." The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The tongue has power. The tongue is a force. The Bible instructs us in over 400 passages of Scripture about our words and how we use our tongue. I will tell you, God the Father is intending to get something to us about our tongues. James goes on a great dissertation here related to, ladies and gentlemen, your tongues can wreck things in your life, or it can build things in your life. And so that's where we spent time last week in three biblical truths. I'll give them to you quickly as we move to the next part. Number one, biblical truths, we said that words are a gift from God. Words are a gift from God. Words are not something that came from somebody else. Words actually came from God. And so we use this very detailed Lego building that you see me holding in my hand right here. Now, these Legos are larger so that you can see them. And I gave the example. There's two words in the Bible, in the Greek, that give us the instruction on words. One is logos and one is rhema. Logos is the written, stable, constant word of God. It's actually where they got the word Lego from, is the word logos. And we need to use carefully the words that are in our life to build a life. If you're looking to build a business, I would ask you to caution and look at your words. If you're building a marriage, I would ask you to look at your words. If you're trying to build a relationship, if you're trying to build your faith life, I would ask you to watch your words. And I preach the entire time. You can download that message from the website. I'll refer back to this in a few minutes. But number one, your words are a gift from God. Number two, words can build up or words can tear down. We know this to be true within relationships with our kids and people the closest to us. And it's often that family members, or those, again, the closest to us, use some of the most haphazard, I'm being careful, use some of the most haphazard words around us because they're the most familiar with us. Yet it's those words that build up or those words that tear down. You remember back when you were in the second or third grade and you remembered what a teacher or a counselor or somebody had told you, those words stick into your spirit, man. Words build up or words tear down. If you're looking to edify and encourage, you use your words to build up. Sticks and stones may break my bones. Remember on the playground? But your word. Yet you can't remember how many swings. Most of you can't remember how many swings were on the playground, how many monkey bars were on the playground, how many slides were on the playground in elementary school. But it's emphatic that we can remember what our friends, our little friends, the words that they used to us. Words build up or words tear down. Number three, biblical truths for your life. Number three, the quality of your life is determined by the word, by the quality of your words. The quality of your life is determined by the quality of your words. And there's some scriptures there that you can read, that you can go over if you'd like. So in James's instruction, that the tongue is violence, it's fire, it's in many ways electric. He's intending in his discourse to teach us to be mindful of our words. And so he gives the example of bridling a horse. With yet a small bit, we can turn its whole body. And with the ship, and the same be true for your life, this tiny member in your body can literally set the course of your day. It can set the course of your life. It can set the course of your marriage. How do we harness the tongue? Well, James goes on and says, no man can tame the tongue. That's God's work. So some of you just need to inhale and exhale. Okay, God. Because some of you are really good at using your tongue. I mean, when it's time to tell somebody what they need to be told. Oh, I want to tell them what I think. We need God's help. Because the tongue will either build up or the tongue will tear down. So in harnessing our words, how do we harness our words? I want to give you some actions today, five things you can do. Number one, the first thing you can do is you can start my day or start your day with praise. I can start my day with praise. Now, if we just get into words and we step over into prayer, often our prayers will sound, now I'm being real honest and transparent, so I don't know if you've ever been to Legacy Chapel before, but we just get kind of down home and we just get right at it, okay? Often our prayers become our time to whine. I didn't expect Pastor to say that. Well, yes, our prayers can often be a time, if we're not careful and we're not well, let me say it this way, if we're not in some kind of atmosphere with other believers, our prayer life can be a time where we spend whining. And I've preached and I've counseled and I've told friends of mine and those in this church, your praise life should be more active than your prayer life. Your prayer life is powerful. It's the time that you commune and you dialogue with the Father, where the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you speak back to the Holy Spirit. But I'm talking about, how do we get the tongue under control? Well, let's start using that tongue to do something that doesn't feel quite normal to me, that it doesn't feel like I quite want to do. Praise is something that I'm intentional about and that my affection is turned on the Father. And if I spend just 1 minute in praise before I do any praying, it changes the entire setting for my prayer life. There's been times in my life where I've gone through some difficult times. And dare I say, inside of such a wonderful marriage with Abigail, amen, that there would be a struggle in something where I was just so wound up. This never happened. That's why she's laughing. I was so wound up about something that I have to leave the room. This hasn't happened recently, like in the last 24 hours. Where you have to just leave the room and you say, God, I need your help right now. Because I feel like natural ripping something. A part. This has happened in my car. This has happened at work. I don't know if you've ever been to work and been frustrated with anybody at work before, but I'm just telling you, this can creep up on you at work. This can creep up on you when you're having a good time with your kids, and all of a sudden your kids do something, and then do something again, and then do something again. You've told them every time, but they do it again, and then they do it again, and then do it again. And all of a sudden, you got to go to another place because you're about to lose your ever-living mind. Your praise life should be something as developed or more developed than your prayer life. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for what you're doing. And we just start exhorting and praising God. Lord, I thank you for blessings in my home. And I don't want to sing, but I do sing out because I'll be singing right now. And that would really make it awkward. I'm not Kyle, so I can't sing. But I will sing to a melody the blessings of the Lord over my family and over my life, and I just declare the wonderful works of the Lord. Now, my skin feels like crawling and melting off of my bones in that moment often, but I just start praising the Lord, and it didn't take much than a few minutes, and all of a sudden, the counsel and the countenance of my life begins to change. There's many people in the worlds of psychology and the other places, they talk about the golden hour of your day. The golden hour of your day is the first hour from the time you wake up, the clock starts ticking, and you have the first hour of the day. It's called the golden hour. It's inside of that hour, and many people that talk about organization, and they talk about, you know, tasks, and they talk about being productive, and they talk about efficiencies. The golden hour is the day that sets the course for that day. Often the golden hour on Monday sets the course for the entire week. I like to back it up and say the golden hour on Sunday is the day that sets the whole course for your week. Now, that's what the pastor should say, but I do believe that. But every morning, the first hour of your day, how are you stewarding the first 60 minutes of your day? Are you mixing in praise with the golden hour of the day? Are you waiting until all hell breaks loose? Now, listen, praise will work when all hell breaks loose, but I will tell you, you will do much different if you give God praise in the first hour when nothing's going on, as opposed to waiting when something's going on. What am I doing in the first hour of the day? So often in our house, we'll turn on worship music because we need somebody else to sing and we can sing along with them. Amen. The boys tell us, Mom and Dad, don't sing. It's better that you don't. Let them sing the song. That's what they tell us. So we just turn it up a couple more notches and then we sing out. Psalms 145 and verse 2, David said, I will praise you every day. Yes, I will praise you forever. In Psalm 71, he says, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have redeemed. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. For those who wanted to harm me, they have been put to shame and confusion. Psalms 103, I love this one. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Praise must become a part of the believer's morning. Now, I know that there's evening people, especially the artists in the room, like the evening more than they like the dreadful morning. But the morning sets the course for your day. If you miss coffee, fine, but don't miss your praise. It's often you go into work and people say, oh, forgive me, I haven't had my 18 cups of coffee yet. Well, I've been watching you drinking that coffee and you're still grumpy. So we need something else to work. Go put the tea down. That's sweet. Go put the tea down and go get some coffee. No, even then, if you miss your tea, if you miss your coffee, I need you to be in praise. I need you to show up with a heart after God and the presence of God and his anointing all over your life, bubbling out of your fingertips and out of the tips of your toes, so that whatever life can bring, whatever the day can bring, Lord, I just want to thank you right now that you're in control. I can't see you, but I know that you're in control. Lord, I declare that you're ordering my steps today. Lord, my finances go before me today. They are multiplying and blessed. And you just continue in the word. So this series is entitled Words. And what are we talking about? We're talking about taming the tongue to use the proper words. What are those proper words? Are those my words? No, we're going to shift gears here. They're God's words. The praise that I use is not just an eloquent list of words that I come up with. The praise that I use, like the words that I've given you some here from David, they're the words of the Bible. They're God's words for our life. You start changing your words to God's words, and I promise you, your life will forever change. We're no longer giving lip service to what's happening in our life. We're literally giving life to what's happening. Praise. I must set up the first part of my day for praise. If you've seen things crumbling around your life, the quality of your life is directly related to the quality of the words of your life. And you can't get any better quality than God's word. Put God's word in your mouth and see what happens. Number two. How do I harness the tongue? Number two. And this is going to be fingernails on a chalkboard. You must, number two, give encouragement to others daily. Give encouragement to others daily. Galatians 6 and 7 often preached around finances. I'm going to use it right here about the tongue. Galatians 6 and 7 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You sow encouragement, you will reap a harvest of encouragement. If you become a farmer of encouragement, you will receive a harvest of encouragement. If you plant seeds throughout your day and throughout your week and throughout your workplace and throughout your home and throughout your family and throughout your marriage, you will reap a harvest of encouragement. If you've walked through days where you felt like you've had no encouragement and nobody's been for you, I would ask you to look back at your words and were you planting seeds along the way of encouragement? Were you purposely stepping outside of your life and outside of your skin and outside of your circumstances and planting words of encouragement? If you're looking for a life of encouragement, Paul said that very transparently. He was the apostle, wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, and he said, hey, bud, when we get together, I'm going to encourage you, but I would sure appreciate it if you would encourage me. That's the apostle Paul. People that sometimes we feel like glow in the dark and are immune from needing words of encouragement, they need it as much as you need it. And if you plant seeds of encouragement and they give seeds of encouragement, all of a sudden we've got a harvest of encouragement. Now here we go, shifting gears. In our marriages, some parties in the marriage, whether the husband or the wife, is better with their words than the other one. They use their words more often. They're gifted in the area of words. They're verbose. Just choose your words wisely. Make sure you're planting encouragement within the marriage. Make sure you're planting encouragement within the home. Here's what I want to ask you, and some not everybody's going to take me up on this, but here's a challenge for the room today. Would you take, and I don't have it anywhere in the notes, this is just Holy Spirit, 21-day challenge for encouragement. Would you willing from this day for 21 days, and I pick 21 because I'm told that 21 days is the day to create a habit, it'd be 22. Some of you are a rough case, it could be 23 days. But would you be willing to take a 3-week challenge that every day you will find somebody to encourage? I'll leave it open. It could be the same person, but why not spread the seeds of encouragement to multiple people? That when you are in a moment where somebody is down and they need to be lifted, you give them a word of encouragement. And watch your life change. Watch your words change. Watch the harvest of your life change. Watch the atmosphere of your life change. In the revelation of Logos, or the written word of God, the building blocks that we need for our faith and our life, you're actually building an atmosphere for your life of encouragement. Your home becomes a place of encouragement. The neighbors know you go to that house if you want to be encouraged. At work, they say you go to that door or that cubicle if you want to be encouraged. Man, you're going to be blessed, or you're going to be fortunate, they'll say, or you'll be lucky to be on that person's team, because when you're on that person's team in the workplace, man, they just fill you up. They just put wind in your sails. I've never performed better than being under that person. That person is a person of encouragement. Give encouragement to others every day. Some of you take it, some of you won't. You can just write it down anywhere in your notes. The 21-day challenge. I'm going to be a person of encouragement. I'm going to tame my tongue. God is going to do the miraculous. Amen? Amen. Number three today. What's the third thing you can do? Number three. We're really getting deep now. Number three is, I will remove all curse words from my speech. We got a couple Navy guys in there. And I am not, I'm kidding. I do have some Navy guys in there. Specifically, what I'm not talking about, although I am talking about, is four-letter words. We get together and share a burrito and talk about the four-letter words. I'm talking about death and life and the power of the tongue. I'm talking about blessing versus cursing. James chapter 3 talked about, brothers, it ought not be so to have blessing come out of the same opening. That's what he's, the same opening as cursing coming out. How often do we hear the blessing of the Lord? I hope every week and every time you come to Legacy Chapel, you hear the word being preached of encouragement and to bless and edify your life. And then for us, within a short period of time, walk out of the building and curse everything that was just spoken over our lives. Where we use our words to unwind, listen to me, unwind the atmosphere. It doesn't negate the power of God's word. It just tears down the atmosphere of your life in the area of truth. I will remove, if you're looking to harness the tongue and you're looking to have God be in control of the life-giving ability of you to speak words, you must tame the tongue. And to do that, you must remove the curse words of your life. We see it all the time with kids. Kids that are in an environment where they are encouraged and blessed, and you can do anything, and certainly you can do that if you put your mind to it, and you put your ability, and you encourage, and you encourage, and you bless, and you bless, and you bless. You just see that child, they flourish. Can I tell you that all of you in the room are nothing but big kids? And the curses that would come on your life, it's the reason the Bible says he sent his word to heal them. He sent his word. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was Jesus. The ills of all of our life and the questions of all of our life comes back to Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the word for our life. So whatever those curse words that were spoken over you at whatever time, whether it was yesterday, this morning, or 15 years ago, those curse words can be broken and removed by the blessed words of the Father. By the blessing of the words of Jesus, by the blessing of the promises, you remove the curses and you fill them with blessings. So here's where I caution you. Don't just stop talking. Don't just stop talking and saying, well, pastor says that I can't curse. And my mom says if I don't have anything good to say, then I shouldn't have anything to say at all. Well, that's right. But let's fill the vacuum. Let's fill the void. Let's remove the curses and start putting in the blessings. If you're really good at blessing your kids, but you're not so great at blessing your marriage or blessing your workplace or blessing your boss or blessing your neighbor, you've got to insert the blessing. How do we insert the blessing? I want to spend some time here in just a moment, but in the next few weeks. How do we insert the blessing? Well, you've got to get God's words in you. I'm going to point to down here as my spirit. To just give you a visual between my head, which your brain's important. God doesn't want you to be stupid. Okay? It's important. But your spirit man, we must get the words of God in our spirit man so that when it's time to edify and it's time to bless and it's time to encourage, something will come out. If we're only spending time around negativity and cursing, you understand. I mean, it's true with four-letter words. It's also true with people continuing to condemn, to damn, and condemn, and to damn, and to condemn things around their life because that's the only thing that's in their spirit. So now let's go deeper here for a moment. We're talking about other people and the words that we use. Did you know that you can give life and release your faith over yourself? One of the most damaging places the enemy is at right now is in self-talk. What you say about yourself, what actually bubbles out of you about yourself, I'm blessed and highly favored. The greater one lives on the inside of me. The storms of this life can affect me because I'm blessed and highly favored. Your self-talk, what does your self-talk sound like? Are you giving all your blessings to other people? I appreciate that because we just talked about giving encouragement every day. But now I want to go deeper and talk about what does your self-talk sound like? Does the enemy have you wrapped up in chains and in bondage over your self-talk? Are you using curse words and curses over your life? You'll come to church or you'll do a great devotional and hear God's word, and then you spend the rest of the day breaking it all down, cursing what it is that God blessed in your life. If you want to tame the tongue and see your life and see your faith go to the next level, you must remove all curse words from your speech. Now, this is a place, if you really want to dig in on this one, this is a place where you must get in a relationship of accountability where you can be honest with somebody. It's probably in a husband and wife relationship where it's a really close friendship, a couple guys together, a couple ladies together, where you talk to them and you say, I need some help in this area. Because we can't read your mind. And your friends can't read your mind. They can read your life. But they can't read your mind. So you must change the curses with the blessings. There's a study that was done of violent criminals several years ago. Violent criminals. These are people on murder row and have done some of the most unbelievable atrocities of our modern society. Psychologists went in and studied over 10 years the prisoners that were there for a lifetime or they had multiple decades of sentences, and they studied the prisoners and they wanted to find out what was it potentially, and they looked at all of the socioeconomic, and looked at the other demographic information, and the one thing that they concluded that the rest of it they weren't surprised by. It's information that we've had for centuries about people that commit violent crimes. The thing that they were surprised about, this one thing that popped up that they didn't realize, is that people that committed the most violent atrocities and crimes in prisons today had 1/5 of the vocabulary of the average American. 1/5 of the vocabulary. We're talking about the power of words. Last week I gave you an example about little beans and bean sprouts. And did you remember that? And so there was another study that was done by scientists that set up 3 different greenhouses. This is the power of blessing and the power of cursing. Scientists picked up on the fact that there's something true with the power of your words. And they said, well, I wonder if it's that true. Let's test plants out. So they set up greenhouses. And they set up all these plants in one greenhouse, a second greenhouse, and a third greenhouse. And in the first greenhouse, they put on audio recorded looped encouragement and laughter to the plants inside the greenhouse of encouragement. And they played it 24 hours a day. In the next greenhouse, they put on a recorded loop that would play all day of condemning and damning and you idiot and you're stupid. And they played it 24 hours a day. And in the third greenhouse, they played nothing. They watered all the plants the same. They gave them the same soil. They received the same sunlight. The only thing that was different is what was playing or what wasn't playing. And time again, the research that I read said, it is astounding that every time that the greenhouse that received the encouragement and the laughter and the joy produced fruit that was 2 times of the house, of the greenhouse, that received all of the negativity. 2 times. The stems were stronger. The leaves were bigger. The plants were brighter in their intended color than the plants. This is true. If it's true with plants, it's absolutely true with you. It's absolutely true with your kids. It's absolutely true with your coworkers. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I have a good friend of mine who we've become good friends through my kids' youth sports. And so they know that I'm a pastor. And so at different times they'll talk to me and they'll ask me stuff about scripture or different things. And I really enjoy the banter. They kid me. And of course I kid them back. You know, it's a good time. And so he asked me a couple of weeks ago, hey, what are you preaching on next? And I said, man, I'm really excited. I'm doing a series on words. And he said, oh, I heard this thing the other day, that this saying that's really good. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I said, you did? That's in the Bible. It is? I said, absolutely, man, it's in the Bible. I said, wow, maybe I should come check you out. I said, come on, man, you're welcome anytime. You guys record your messages? Yeah, we do. Oh, I'll just listen to it online. Okay, that's good too. My point is that you have to get God's word in your spirit and know that it's God's word. You didn't get it off of a fortune cookie, did you? You didn't get it off of a Google horoscope, did you? No, that's in God's word. God said that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Number four, how do I harness the tongue? How do I release the power of my words? Number four is I exercise listening twice as much as I speak. You've heard the old adage, God gave you two ears and one mouth so that you listen twice as much as you speak, or you speak half as much as you listen. Mark Twain made an awesome quote I really enjoyed. He says this, it's better to keep your mouth closed and let people think that you're a fool than to open it and remove all doubt. Oh my goodness. Proverbs 10 and 19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds the tongue is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, verse 20, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. Verse 21, the lips of the righteous nourish many. It's throughout the Bible, people. It's throughout the Bible. The life and death are in the power of the tongue. Verse 21, the lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. Proverbs 12 and 15 says, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen. The wise listen to others. If I want to tame my tongue, I'm going to break it down for you. If I'm intending to tame my tongue, I use my tongue less and allow God to direct how it's used. Which leads us to number five. And why I went through three and four so quickly. Number five, if I'm going to tame the tongue, I must submit my heart to God. If I'm going to tame the tongue, I must submit my heart to God. Jesus said these words, Jesus, not anybody else, Jesus, for out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. What's being put into your heart? What's being deposited into your heart? David said, I didn't bring you the scripture. David said, you must watch your heart. For out of it springs all of life. What's being put into your heart? The center of your being. One translation, and this is where I'm headed in the coming weeks, of your heart is your imagination, your place of meditation, the place where you spend all of your time in your thought life. It's there that is being deposited into your heart. And as it's being deposited into your heart, Jesus said, out of the abundance or the overflow of your heart, your mouth speaks. So we put the attention on our tongue to slow it down, to talk less, right? We come up with the ratios. Okay, yeah, I said 2,000 words today, and I'm going to listen for people's 4,000 words, and this thing is so tiring. Or we take a Bible strategy and we say, you know what? I've got to find out the source of where all these words are coming from. You've heard people say, oh, I can't believe I said that. I don't know where that came from. Oh, man. We can tell you where it came from. I must submit my entire life where I'm saying my heart to God. Jesus said also in Matthew 15:11, he said, but the words you speak, he's talking to the Pharisees, the words that you speak come from the heart, and that's what defiles you. The indicators of your faith life, the indicators of your heart, identify where you're at in this life. If we want to see a mature Christian or a mature believer, somebody who's been walking with the Lord for a long time, we can take an assessment of their words because that's what's in their heart. What's being poured into our heart in the area of dealing with people, of trials and tribulations, of patience and care, of God's word deep within our heart, because that's what will ultimately come out. You've got to do some homework. You've got to do some behind the scenes. You've got to take time with the Father and be in His words and allow His words to fill up your spirit, man, so that when you get into a tight situation and your life gets the squeeze and you get into something you least expected, or the week brings something that you did not see coming and your life gets squeezed, it's what comes out of you that's in your heart. Well, Pastor, I just don't know what's going on. I'm just not sure. And I go back to, how has your time with the Lord been in the morning or in the evening? When you spend time with the Lord? Pastor, I'm not talking about that. Why are you keep coming back to that? Stop getting on me. Get off my back, Pastor. And I want to say I'm helping you. I want to know if you've been spending time with the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to pour into you. Because when the squeeze happened, we don't want death to come out. We want life to come out. And when the issues of life come where things are relatively under control, and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose and the wheels of life fall off and somebody in your family gets sick or somebody loses a job or the house burns down or some catastrophe takes place, we want life to come out, not death to come out. And I will tell you, when life happens and things go crazy, 100% of the time what's in there, Proverbs 3:3, this is not in your notes. This is only going to be on the screen because this was an addition from early this morning. Proverbs 3:3 says this, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. That means you want to hold them close. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. How is it that we write on the tablets of our heart? God says that He writes on the tablet of your heart. We know that, and we say amen to that. Preach that, Pastor. He uses His words to write on the tablet of your heart. But here we're saying writing on the tablets of your own heart. David said in Psalm, this is the one you have to write down next. David said in Psalm 45, he said this. He said, I recite my composition concerning the king. I recite my composition concerning the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. David said, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Solomon in Proverbs said, you want to write loving kindness on the tablets of your heart. How do we write those on the tablets of your heart? Because Jesus went further and said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And the Bible declares that life and death are in the power of the tongue. We've got to pull all this together now. Your words become the pen of a ready writer on the tablets of your heart. And the truth of God's word, the uncompromising power of God's word, comes out of you as life when it's written on the tablets of your heart. The only way for the word of God to be written on the tablets of your heart is you must spend time in God's word. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, that stuff that you heard back in youth camp many years ago, our Sunday school class about you should have a personal devotion time, you should be spending time in God's word, you should be having a personal praise life as much as you have a personal prayer. Have you ever heard that? Maybe like, 40 minutes ago. It's the difference between somebody walking a supernatural life in this earth and somebody struggling through life in this earth. Abby and I know it to be true in the squeeze of our life when things seem to be difficult is that we've got to go and get God's word. In every season, we have to go get God's word. And Abby, I'll tell you right now, is the one at the very beginning of our marriage all those years ago that said, we've got to put prayer around this thing because we were dating and things were going really well and things were moving kind of quick. And Abigail said, we've got to get God's word over this. We've got to pray God's word over this. Baby started coming, and we said, we got to get God's word on this. Life started happening, jobs started happening, and the word of the Lord came that we're going to plant the church, and we said, we got to get God's word on this. I went through a season where I couldn't get a job. We went through a season of financial difficulty, and we said, we got to get God's word on this. When things are going well and things are celebrating and everything's growing and prospering, we say, we got to get God's word on this. There's a pattern here. I've got to get God's word. I've got to get God's word in my spirit. I must recite. David said, recite the composition. I must recite. I must repeat. I must recount. I must play it over and over again. I must say God's word over my life because my tongue is a ready pen for my heart. Today in this summer season, I don't know where you're at in life and how life is going for you, but I would ask you very clearly and very pointedly, where is your time with the Lord, your personal time with the Lord? Because you can have everything on the exterior looking right. But if you don't take time to be with God, that is the center of it all. I must be with Jesus. I must be in the presence of God. And it's great, and you should come every week at 10 a.m., but every morning in the golden hour of your day, you should be spending with Him. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Today we're going to finish with worship. And many of you, as you sit there for a few minutes longer, you're going to have to make a decision. Some of you, it's to get right with God, to come back into the family of God, to say yes to God, to say, you know what, I'm giving God my whole heart. I'm not just giving Him part of it, I'm going to give Him all of it. Some of you would say, you know what, I'm giving God a portion of my calendar. A portion of my day. A portion of my time. Watch God multiply what you give Him. Let Him speak His words into your spirit, man.